Ready? All right. I'd like to call the Town of Montville Park and Rec Commission meeting to order at 6:34. Pledge of Allegiance, please. For January 15th, 2025. Thank you, Gloria. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call, please. Present.
Commissioner Barlow is absent.
Present.
Commissioner Plikus?
Present.
Commissioner Holman?
Present.
Present.
Commissioner Carter?
Present.
Commissioner Mathewson is absent.
Okay, alterations to the agenda. The only alteration I make is, would like to make, is I received one more letter about agenda item 11D from Rebecca Rothholz. Did you plan on reading that tonight? Or we can read it?
I can read it in the...
Okay, never mind. Then I don't have to make an alteration to the agenda. So everybody all set? Okay. Remarks from the public regarding items on the agenda.
Bunnell, 5 Little John Drive, Mayor, Town of Montville. I'd like to comment on item 10E on the Parks Master Plan. I think everyone has gotten the CLA drawings with estimation on costs. I, for one, if the money's there and the interest is there, favor the plan to relocate that intersection of Oxo and 163. Not only is it a safety issue, but I think it's a popular issue to have that realigned and present something that is noticeable to the park itself. It will increase the available parking, which has always been a problem. And as the programs expand there, there'll be more and more parking needed. I know it's an expensive proposition. I think we should go for it. There might be some grants out there that we might be able to apply for. I was just made aware of one last week. So if the commission would consider it, I think it's in the best interest of the town.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I forgot what I was supposed to say, but...
Name and address.
Rebecca Rothholz, 63 Beechwood Road in Oakdale. So, hello, Montville Parks and Rec Commission. There seems to be some concern over adults dancing with children, but that is without context, so allow me to provide some. My name is Becca, and this is my third dance season with Lana, but the first year that I've included ballet. I implore this committee to allow me to continue my instruction in this dance discipline. I was invited into the level 4-5 ballet by Miss Lana when I had expressed an interest in taking ballet. I accepted this challenge knowing that I would have to work harder than I ever had in the tap class. The adult tap class is taught for all levels of experience and ability, which means that Lana has to teach about four different variations of the same movement simultaneously, basic, intermediate, advanced, and modified. And she does this seamlessly. However, myself and another member of the adult tap chose to challenge ourselves further by dancing ballet. Ballet is an entirely different dancing discipline than tap, and it's all about strength of the body radiating outward. You may see beauty and grace on the outside, but the strength that is required of ballet is unparalleled. The level 4-5 ballet class has challenged me to push myself beyond what I imagined possible of myself in a way that I would not have achieved just in the adult tap class. The concern seems to be mixing adults with children, but I am not someone who just registered randomly online. Not only have I been dancing with Lana for over 2 years now, I have two children in the program. My daughter, who's in her fourth year, and my youngest son, who's in his second year. Furthermore, the Parks and Rec office was already aware of my participation in the level 4 or 5 ballet class because I had called and registered over the phone for a previous session this year. So I'm not understanding why this is becoming an issue now. Miss Lana has always been able to use her judgment to move existing dancers into classes appropriate for them, and this should remain to be the case. The girls in the class do not see an issue with my and the other adults' presence. In fact, they have been gracious and accepting, which is the norm for any of Lana's dancers. Think too of the example that we are setting. To all the kids who see us and realize that even at our advanced age, we can still be both beautiful and powerful, and to other dance parents whom just may be inspired to follow suit. Dance has become a major part of my life, and please do not ask me to lose a piece of it.
Thank you, Rebecca. Just for the commission members, this relates to agenda item 11D. So we'll be, it's a little bit backwards because we you may not really even be aware of the problem yet. So. Okay, remarks from the public? Remarks from the public? Remarks from the public? Okay, to consider and act on a motion to approve the meeting minutes of December 18th, 2024.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
We're on our A game tonight.
You hit me again.
Any discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. Recreation Director's report for January 2025.
The latest update for the courts. The Camp Old Hill courts, the baskets are up, the lines and the final grooming around the court where they dug up the grass and the dirt will be done in the spring, of course. There's a slight acrylic coating on the lawn, just a finish coat, and the white lines will go down.
So there is a finish put on there?
Yeah.
Because it looked pretty porous.
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
What is it that he's not happy with?
I think it's the consistency. It seems to be, at least to me, it seems to be gravelly. I didn't speak with him, the engineer. Unfortunately, they did run over one of my metal trash cans, crushed it, but they replaced that. And the sidewalk is complete and makes it much easier for the staff to get up and down with both vehicles and the motors to maintain the facility. We may have to do some work on the fencing as well. It's looking kind of shabby. It was a small, really old fence anyway. So John at Public Works is taking a look at maybe getting some prices to put a new fence up. It goes on the north side.
Just one side, yeah.
Just one side. We have the playground and the slope to the park.
I went down and saw the Public Works crew the other day, and they were really happy about the 8 foot wide.
Yeah.
Because they would get stuck down there sometimes.
Yeah, in the morning they were mowing, if it was dewy, they couldn't get the mowers back up. It's such a steep grade.
Yep. So they're really happy with it.
Rocky, just a quick question for Pete. I had to double check to make sure I was here last month because I thought I missed something. But in the last discussion, I think we weren't sure. The contractor who did the work at Camp Oakdale Court had gone ahead and done some preliminary digging at Desjardins but had not been awarded a contract yet. So I take it that that person did have the acceptable bid in that case, and I see. So it is the same contractor. Okay, thank you.
And the building, which is not in the report, but the building, the maintenance building for Camp Oakdale between Fields 1 and 2, all those bids came in higher than what we had for funding. So that was actually the meeting we were having yesterday about working with the one who was a little bit and seeing what could be done, what could be cut out, could be saved in other ways. So we're just starting that process now.
Yeah. My understanding, so they had actually specified a specific metal building, and my understanding is that vendor of that building didn't even put a bid in?
Correct.
Okay. I forgot the name. I have it somewhere, but...
Yeah, the community will put us out. A lot of folks have already picked it up. They get it at their house anyway, but they still come in, especially a lot of seniors come in. And they see a picture of that once in a while, and they send it to their relatives, saying, what's going on? And, the email I had sent to Gary Ward, Gary Pickleball, doing classes and potentially a league or tournament. He's not going to be able to do anything for us this year. There's taking care of some family member that is not well, so he's not going to be able to do anything for us this year, but he's still interested.
So he said at some point he...
Yeah. Yep.
Is it worth trying to... You know, maybe look for someone else?
Yeah, I will. There are more courts now around. We used to be the only ones around. Now there's quite a few communities that have them. So give that a shot.
Peter, I hear Groton has a really great program going on, so you might want to reach out to them.
Yeah, I haven't talked to Mark already. So yeah, that's about it for that.
Did the January newsletter end up getting posted? I know there was a hiccup with the IT department. Last I looked, it was still December's newsletter.
He got back from vacation Monday.
I'll have to check this out. Yeah, I forgot to look. But
I once he knew he was on vacation, I knew it. He was the only one who
does it. Oh, so... We probably need to work on getting a backup so the website can get updated. Okay, thank you. Report from finance.
So yeah, we're in decent shape. There's still quite a few expenditures that are not showing that we did for the parade. We were fortunate that the $600 for portable toilets was donated this year. So I sent them a nice letter thanking them.
Who did that? The company that does it? Oh.
The company did it. So, which, and they also donated the Turk and Trunk one. So that's two this year, three, because there's two. Two at Trick or Trunk and two here for the parade, so they donated all four. That's $600 a day for the two of them. So fortunately, that was good savings. The user probably purchased additional funds because we are renting more and more facilities, both indoor and out. So that's in and out, and I'm concerned about that deficit this time. So we usually do that in June. We're looking good for the everyday expenses.
All in all, you're not seeing any potential problem popping up? As far as the 079 fund, do you know if all our authorized expenditures are showing up on here? You know, what we had what, the pavilion? Electricity, electrical. And then I know we just, I know the 3,000 we just authorized isn't in here. I think you voted on that?
We didn't have to vote on it because what I spoke with John Carlson, and they're going to write the PO right out of that account.
Okay. But can you just try to check maybe for, see, make sure all the things that we've authorized are out of this amount? I think they are, just on my quick math, but I understood. Understood. I'm not seeing anything. We haven't been asked for anything out of this, but, you know, we have.
It was a good chunk, though.
We've authorized quite a bit out of it. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Any questions? Any questions about the finance report? Okay. February newsletter. Now, does that come out of the budget, your
special,
normal budget?
Yeah, some of them come out of the budget, some out of special revenue.
Any questions or comments on the February newsletter? Okay, unfinished business. Project and funding status. I think we've talked about both of the first items, Camp Oakdale basketball court replacement, that, like Pete said, that's basically done. It needs a seal coat, and the lines put in, and that'll be done in the spring. I went down there. It looks, you know, looks good. Anybody needs loom? There's a, looks like a bunch of loom sitting there waiting to get spread out. Yeah, then, like Pete said, Desjardins is, you know, still got some work to do. So we'll pick that back up in the spring. Job description committee, we still haven't figured out dates yet. John, you thought maybe we should just pick a date and spend a couple, 2-3 hours and bang through this in one night. Would that work best for you?
Well, for me personally, meeting for that purpose earlier than these regular meetings would be tough. And so the idea that I threw out was, let's just...
3 hours.
No, I don't... I mean, trying to find time is difficult. So.
Yes.
But I realize that other people have different schedules as well.
Right.
So my thought was to, rather than meeting a half hour early or an hour early on four or five occasions as was proposed, that maybe we should just meet once or twice for a couple of hours, not necessarily connected to these meetings, and get
just
it done.
Right. So
day.
It could be on an alternate night.
Oh, absolutely.
Alternate
yeah,
night.
Yeah.
For an hour.
For an
hour.
Yeah.
Does it have to be on a weekday?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm only speaking from my own perspective when I say that coming here earlier than 6:30 on four or five occasions would probably be difficult for me.
You have trouble sometimes getting here for the meeting.
I'm barely on time. I
so, yeah, John, yeah. If we were to propose 7 p.m., is that an acceptable time that you could be?
On a different night than the regular meeting? Oh, of
correct.
Course. Oh, sure. It's okay. just coming here on our regular meeting night an hour earlier or whatever the proposal was would be really tough for me. So on a different night at 7, sure. And if we were to do that maybe on a couple of occasions.
And I don't know if this is appropriate, but if there's not an alternate place that's available, is it unrealistic to offer my office downstairs as a meeting place at 7 p.m. on a different night?
That works for me.
Community center too. We've used that for other types of meetings.
I mean,
well, only that as a committee, our meetings would need to be noticed and open to the public.
Could,
so if anyone
could be done in my office downstairs.
If anybody,
it's an open door policy anyway.
Sure.
So there's plenty of places for people to sit.
If there's no other
correct. If there's no other option.
I don't see why there would be a problem. I think it's up to you, Mary, in the use of your office.
Yes. I say yes. So, like, we keep pushing this off, and I think that we need to stop pushing it off and do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let me go look at, find three dates at 7 o'clock, and I'll send an email out to us and see if we can all get together on those dates. And then I'll get with the town clerk.
Okay, so if there's nothing available, my office
yeah.
is
okay.
a viable option.
Okay.
Yeah, that's helpful, Mary. I appreciate that, because I know scheduling is tough for the different uses mm-hmm. of the room and so on.
Thanks, Mary.
Could my office and see if 102 and 203 are available?
Yeah, everything is, you know, actually really, the calendar, the town calendar is very good as to what's available and what's not available.
And I also think that if we have a smaller number of meetings, but for a longer period of time, you know, an hour or so, as
mm-hmm.
you say, Mary, an hour and a half or whatnot, it'll help us to perhaps focus and get this done sooner than later.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully we can go through this fairly.
Which
yeah.
I think is our goal.
To it is our goal.
Sooner rather than later to get this
started. We wanted to get it
started
done
and
we wanted
completed.
To get it done before this cycle of
right.
meeting them, so... All right. Excellent. Thanks.
And all that being said, you know, if I'm certainly glad to participate in this, Rocky. You would ask me if I'd be willing to, and I am. But if my schedule is what's in the way of progress here, then, you know, don't let me be the one that stands in the way.
Okay. We all have other commitments, so it's just trying to
right.
get all four of us in the room at the same time. Okay. Thanks. Website improvement, nothing else at this point. Our carnival committee update, Morgan's not here. Probably just quickly, we're trying to get to do, we had gotten a contract from Tim Comerford, who was the vendor from last year. We asked him for basically to commit to a 5-year contract, so we didn't have to go looking for a vendor every year. The contract came back, it said 5 years, but it only had dates for 1 year. So Pete, I think you reached back out to him?
I did.
And have we gotten anything back from him yet?
No, it was just last week.
Okay. So we want to get that signed, but we're waiting for him. We had picked dates for the next 5 years, and we're trying to get that in the contract, and then the town will sign it, and he'll sign it, and we'll
yep.
move on. That's the short and sweet of the Carnival Committee update. The master Parks Master Plan, thank you, Lenny, for offering your opinion on one of the options. So I think you all got copies of three basically massive parking plans. I know, you know, my opinion when I looked at them is that's not what we were looking for. I don't think at any discussion in our commission meetings have we ever talked about paving the grass area across from the pavilion. I think, you know, John and all of us were discussed about a plan that, you know, showed some parking ideas at the pavilion, parking at the dog park area. You know, I know we've talked about a splash pad, maybe showing that somewhere, but we were more interested, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, we're more interested in looking at, you know, well, where can we plant some trees and where can we plant some shrubs and things that we could have, and then as money permitted, we could identify, go do this little project and do. So I'm not sure where there were like close to 200 parking spots on some of those options, and I don't think we were ever looking for anything like that. But am I wrong, or?
Well, Rocky, I think that's a summary of kind of how we got up to this point. My thoughts are mixed also. I know that when we sort of embarked on this concept of an overall plan that could be worked toward accomplishing over time, toward fulfillment over time as resources allowed, I think we were enthused when a number of months ago we had a good discussion of this, and the idea was floated of the area really being treated as a town green, for example, and that I think sounded appealing to a lot of us. Then there was some further discussion of moving the road. Now, I'm all for safety improvements, Mayor, believe me. And if grant funding could be found to do something like that, of course, where the money comes from is not our business. I can't imagine, you know, taxes being raised to do this, for example, but if some, you know, grant funding were available for safety improvements, intersection alignment, or otherwise some money from the legislature to be forthcoming. Terrific. And I think that if there is a concept of moving that road for the reasons that have been discussed, then that's sort of that's one of the basic bones of a concept plan. In other words, you wouldn't want to develop a landscape plan, trees, maybe splash pad, whatever else, and then only to learn a few years down the road in implementing that we're going to move the road. You kind of want to have that known up front, and so I get that, and the concept of doing that probably has a lot to offer. The curve that would result would probably have somewhat of a traffic calming effect. The alignment of the two town roads into a single intersection with the state highway probably ticks off a lot of boxes as far as good highway design and meeting state highway standards and so on. And that is probably going to be as much of a basis as any for available funding to be able to accomplish that. So I find that intriguing and quite interesting. But as far as the extent of asphalt that's proposed for parking, I don't think that we had ever talked about anything like this. And I know that in past discussions with the Public Works Director, with someone else from the town engineer's office, there had been a great concern with eliminating as much as possible the impervious surfaces that have been created over the years, like the asphalt down by Schofield's Pond, some of the small pavilion parking area that's not used and because has become a maintenance nightmare because of the deteriorating condition. But there are state standards that apply to the paving over of land now. You've got to, as a result, do something with the runoff water that's created. John, you probably have some background when it comes to that and construction work as well. I noticed all these large water retention basins that have been proposed as well.
I think that meets these requirements there.
Yeah, I'm sure that's why it is. I wonder if parking needs to be impervious for the somewhat seasonal use of some of the, granted.
Do you have the plans in front of you?
I do.
So I read in there that that surface was cement.
Maybe bituminous concrete was that?
Maybe I'm. That's the word. That's
asphalt.
Blacktop. Okay.
That's asphalt. Yeah. That's asphalt.
Okay.
But when they apply it to like sidewalks and stuff, that's what they.
So
call
it's
it.
Oily cement.
Yeah. Yeah, it sets up quicker.
So and again, I think I mentioned about realigning the roads. I like that concept. You'd have to develop a plan around, because again, I think we'd like to do paving and stuff before we may ever get approvals to move a road. So you'd want a plan that maybe had a smaller parking lot that didn't, I mean, the one they show there with the road move goes right up to the road. We could leave that grass and a green area rather than paving it, but you'd have to think of that. You'd have to communicate that to the vendor, and we got a lot of other things to talk about tonight. I think we must not have made clear what we're really looking for, and I don't want to keep, I think we need to probably be more specific as to what we're looking for so that when we go back to CLA, we can
I think
what we're looking for.
I think
I'm
so
not sure how
Rocky.
We do that.
I mean, this is a big. There's a big difference between what I see here and the concept of a town green, and maybe there's some further work to be done as far. But all that being said, the concept of the not opining on where the money would come from, but the concept of moving that road for safety purposes to realign the intersection, to create a number of safety improvements and increasing the usable area on the pavilion side of the road as a result, I think is a sound concept.
Right, but I think we have to almost work around that in case it didn't happen. We don't want to not do anything.
I see your point. We don't want to not do anything.
We don't want to not do anything. We need to get the paving done and
this doesn't
things
have
like
to
that.
Be a so. One, this doesn't have to be a one fell swoop project.
No, but you have to keep things like that in mind. Like I said, you don't want to do something that you'd end up tearing up if you move the road.
So what if we
you'd have to work,
What if we started at the pavilion area and worked our ways towards the road? We have a master, we have a plan we envision that we'd like to. I want to get up the mountain. Might not get up the mountain,
but
I'll
think
get halfway.
This commission has to specify what we're looking specifically in this plan. We must not have conveyed that because again, I don't know. None of what I saw is anything that we've ever talked about.
Can we sit down with him?
So you're looking for a plan, not necessarily to do everything at once.
No, but
hey,
but
this is what we want to do. Maybe we do 25%
concept.
Now.
You see them all right. Okay. We're actually looking for someone to say, "Hey, it would be good if you did this here."
John had a question.
Sorry, John.
Can we sit down with the engineer and have an
interaction with the designer?
I think we can do that.
I mean,
we've met with CLA before, right?
Sure, we did.
We didn't meet and talk about that. We did not talk about that.
Who's we?
Right.
No, I have met where I have with Pete and.
Right, but us as a commission, can we sit down and meet?
Well,
or a designated person or two people sit down and meet with. And who did that?
Rocky and I was there on behalf of Public Works. He was up there on behalf of Parks and Rec.
At one point. What I'm trying to not do is have to go back 5, 6, 7, 8 times because that costs money.
Then we need to state to ourselves what purpose do we want for that park?
Because right now the only thing they've done is created a parking plan.
Just parking.
Yeah.
So.
And if that's not what you conveyed to them,
that's not.
So then we have to have, what do you want that, we need to state what we want that park to become.
Right, that's what I mean.
Right now it's just a parking lot.
We have to be clearer somehow. Either take, I mean, option three shows the road moved. Do we start from there and say we don't want park, we want this to be a green area. We want, you know. I don't know how we.
And Rocky, and your point earlier is important about being so tied to that road realignment that it never happens, nothing ever happens because that first step is never funded somehow.
Right.
Somehow, so accommodating that possibility while still achieving something. As John, points out, you know, one of the things that had been discussed consistently was handicap parking, up closer to the pavilion area. That's something that would not necessarily be affected one way or another by moving the road. Maybe that's something, again, to John's point, that could be focused on initially. What is the requirement? What do we need to besides, you know, well, being nice, let's say? What is the actual legal requirement when it comes to handicap
right.
parking? How many spots? How close do they have to be? I'm not sure if we have any information as to that.
No, but I think CLA knows that.
We looked into that before because of the Camp Oakdale inquiry before.
Right. CLA knows all that.
Yeah.
And they do have it marked.
I'm sure they can tell us that if we ask the question, but.
Would you accept, like, if I took a cut at just marking something up and then sent it out, and then we can comment on that?
Maybe we should all do that.
Absolutely. Sure.
What gets expressed to you that people would want in the park?
Well, the designs that he proposed, even the engineer, when I first got him, I was meeting with him on a different night. I said, oh, by the way, I said, I don't see us paving across the street. And he goes, I wouldn't do that either. He said, but I wanted to get you X amount of parking spaces. I said, why don't we use that money and do the parking lot with a pickleball courts? Dog park lot, that certainly we're not going to be able to really expand potentially that area,
mm-hmm.
but it needs to be redone. It's all paved and it's even got concrete from the project we had done before. So, and of course, that's in our CMP as well.
And that
he has a way to realign. Cause I asked him about between the farmers market and the concerts, the handicap parking facing.
That's on both sides, I think.
Correct. And he said by shortening those islands, the ends of the islands up, you can get parking on a north-south access. So you actually increase the amount of parking and still not have to do anything across the street.
That's on the tennis court side you're talking about.
No, on the pavilion side.
Across from the where the grass field that we
shorten up those islands in the middle by maybe two spaces. Parking facing the pavilion, right.
Well, what's the point of paving it? I mean,
people seem to like it the way it is. There was a lot of enthusiasm, I remember, from moving the farmer's market there initially instead of holding it in a parking lot.
No, and I disagree with that. I think we've gotten a lot of comments that it's chaotic because there's no parking.
Well, that's a point. And the entrance area.
And when it rains, like one side completely floods out and it becomes a pond.
As somebody who's there every week, I can speak to this, that like Mary said, it floods. It's chaos in there. People drive through that into the market. So that is a safety issue. They park willy-nilly, and to be quite honest, when you're handicapped, you should be able to get out onto a surface that's safe and not, a fall risk.
Well, accepting that last point, of course, to be obviously true, as far as everything else, I still don't see an argument as to why it has to be asphalted. I mean, I've gone to the Basra Farmers Market. It's a gravel lot. It's nicely laid out. There's no chaos. It's organized.
Have many volunteers that are able to do it, and we don't.
Do they paint lines on the gravel?
It's gravel in the front, but it's grass. Once the front is filled, then it's grass beyond that. But they do have a large number of volunteers or workers that direct traffic appropriately, and Montville does not have that, which does impact it.
Well, then that's a different kind of a question, but we never as a committee or a commission rather talked about anything like this. I remember less than probably 6 months ago, the mayor was here speaking very passionately and eloquently about creating a town green that had been your dream for years, Lenny. I think you said something like that. And I just don't see a town green being consistent with an asphalt parking lot.
Several years ago, Rocky and I did meet with somebody, CLA perhaps, remember, and they made another, we had another monstrous parking lot created.
With the same criticism from the Public Works Director and elsewhere as far as the creation of impervious surfaces. I get, Kate, you like the idea of paving over the park. I get that. But as a commission, I'm concerned with, we seem to be all over the place. We were in favor
and,
of a...
And you, and that's I don't
mean all over the place between ourselves. I mean that 6 months ago we were all very enthusiastic about a village green or a town green. Now,
but a town green doesn't mean you can't have parking area. But anyway, we have a lot of other things to cover tonight. Why don't we individually take a cut at marking up any one of those plans or coming up with your own? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, we want to include not only the pavilion area, but we do want to include the dog park area, that parking area there. If there's something we may want to see on the backside of the pickleball courts.
And to Peter's point, would it not be an appropriate use of some portion of whatever funding this is going to take to improve that existing parking lot over there and make that function better in relation to the entire complex with an appropriate crosswalk or whatever? I mean, there's one thing that's not pointed out, even though you see it in the aerial photos, is sort of the concrete slab parking area that's down at the far west end of the site. And how that relates to all this and the number of parking spots that can provide is another question.
I believe Pete and John potential reconfigured parking lot they were talking about, where they were talking about tearing that up, that it serves no useful purpose.
I see. Well, then that's an area of ground that's potentially available for something else. But getting back to your initial point, Rocky, on all of this, when you open the discussion, I don't remember us ever talking about anything like that.
No, and I did, you know, we did meet with CLA to try to get something going, but I certainly don't think, I did not ever convey we wanted 200 parking spots. Maybe I'm talking a different language, and that's what they got out of it, but we've never, ever even thought of having that many parking spots. I thought 50, 60 parking spots would be more than enough to serve that area for all instances. You figure, like doing farmers markets, some of that parking lot is going to get narrow because you're going to have trucks, vendors parking on the edge.
And that kind of will almost not come out to the parking lot, like beyond the pavilion and the rock barrier, so to speak.
So they
come out into what would be designated as the parking lot.
And that's something that should be corrected by some means. I mean, back to the point, not to say that it's necessarily the solution here, but you know, some of us have been out to the Basra location, where between landscaped areas, trees, some stone walls and things, we don't have to go to that extent, but maybe some fencing or something, they've created regular parking there without turning it into a, you know, asphalt expanse. So I think that there's a number of ways this could be approached, you know, all consistent with what we've talked about in the past, which this is not.
But we have talked about paving areas.
Some paving, you know,
So
I'm just a simple man with the wrinkles on my brains are diminishing. What are we trying to accomplish? Did we walk into the meeting trying to get extra parking? Was it to beautify? I don't know what's going on. Little bit beautification and formalizing parking.
I think there's a middle ground somewhere. We just don't know what it is right now.
Okay.
That would be my best simple man explanation.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm done.
I think it's up to us to define that. This commission has to define that.
Do we have any information on how many folks would like show up to the farmer's market, like, on an hourly basis? Because not 200 folks or 500 folks aren't going to show up all at once, right?
Unfortunately, I don't have enough volunteers that are able to take a clicker and be able to do that. There's five of us on the committee, three of whom are vendors. That leaves two of us to do everything else.
Do you think it would be worth waiting another season to get... I would be willing to volunteer and do clicker data so we can get more concrete information on the number of folks.
I don't think the plan would be, the intent would be to design this to support only the farmer's market. I think the farmer's market is just something that happens to occur there.
That's one activity.
My only thinking in terms of that.
We don't want to design this around the farmer's market.
My only thinking in terms of that is it seems like it's the largest use of the pavilion.
I don't know. We got some pretty good parties there.
Yeah, but those are private.
Those are private, but the,
what
like
size
I said,
are
I
they?
The concerts and the farmers market are community events that happen. And is it possible to reach out to high school students looking for community service hours that they need and in which they could use those community service hours and work farmers markets?
Scout groups.
If you read the farmers market minutes, you would know that's something we already do.
I don't. Full disclosure. But yeah. Is there a better way that we could promote that to through churches who community service hours are needed for kids who want to be confirmed? It's not just within the school. It's multiples of things. It's multiple Catholic churches in this town.
Don't want to put in a lot of work anymore.
Well, that's I'm your girl. Life. All you got to do is ask.
No, I know,
I'm happy to help. So, like, any kid who wants to be confirmed within the Catholic Church needs to have community service hours in order to be confirmed.
Right, I'll reach out to
St. John's. Lady of the Lakes. There's multiple venues that can be. And kids will do anything for community service. Athletes high school athletes,
but
a lot of programs.
But that's not going to help with our paving issue, so.
But it's another
right.
avenue to support.
100%. But it's an item right. that's not even on the agenda.
I know. Sorry. Just
yes,
a thought.
Mr. Chair.
I can't remember.
I'd like to suggest that we table this. it's all good discussion, but I don't think it's anything that we're going to solution tonight. And
right.
I think the suggestion
well,
to
here's the problem is that we're working on budget tonight. This is our only shot to affect next year's fiscal budget. Well, and you know, if we want capital money to do anything, tonight's the night. We got to figure it out.
So
I mean, it's unfortunate. There's, you know, we're
that's okay.
we don't ever seem to get enough time to work through. You know, we're putting the cart before the horse again. We don't really know what we want, but we're trying to throw money in there to pay for it.
Well, what if this year we aimed at the dog park side, the pickleball side of the
park?
Well,
so I send a spreadsheet out every month that has 50 things on it that we have talked about this commission, either through our walk-arounds, you know, just a pump for water at the dog park, add seating, picnic tables. These are all things to me that we should convey to CLA and say, we want to see this, right? That's what a plan is.
John's point also, though, dovetails back in a way with what we've been stressing for a number of years in terms of taking care of what we have, which has been very successful in terms of resulting in the recent improvements to the pavilion and other places. The what I'll call the tennis court parking lot that Peter mentioned is in rough shape.
Yep,
and the best that could be done within resources a few years ago is to patch it up.
Right.
There were sinkholes. The small pavilion parking area,
list of things we identified that needs to get done.
Exactly. The ball field parking asphalt area is in very bad shape in places. And so if this were to be looked at in terms of prioritization of asphalting, it would seem that this would come fairly far down a long list. So
it would, well, again, that's what we're here to talk about tonight.
Yeah.
That's on the SIP plan. Like, I sent out the draft SIP plan, the first item that we'll be talking about soon, is repaving the ball field parking lot.
Which would be
that
terrific.
Was number one.
I saw
now,
that. I noticed that.
We haven't approved that, but that's what some
right.
people feel, and that's why we're here to discuss. But again, to me, all this stuff that's been on this list that we've identified in our walk-arounds, specifically for the pavilion area and the dog park area, should be tossed in this plan because that's what we've talked about doing. Now, I'm not saying we can't get CLA or somebody else to – what else could we do there? But – you know, unless we define what we want to see there, we're never going to get
there. I think I understand your point exactly. We've sort of what this plan reflects is an outsourcing of that thinking to CLA as opposed to the incorporation of the ideas that
of what
we've developed over
we've
time.
Talked about. So I agree. Well, let's talk. We unfortunately we're going to be looking at a SIP plan that wants to do some of these things, and we don't really know what we want. So,
but that's.
Funding will be at least a portion of
what you want to do. Yeah,
it may be a phase.
Okay,
we do
about
$500,000 this year, another $500,000 next year. So we
need
to have some money.
Maybe
if it gets approved.
Look, the plans that you have on the SIP plan for $1 million.
We're going to talk about the SIP plan in a minute. So.
I know, but I'm just saying,
okay,
you have on there $1 million. You have the quotes or estimates from CLA that it's going to be about $1 million.
And
we're saying, but right. So I know you're saying we don't need everything that's on that plan. It doesn't include everything.
Right, but what, in my mind, when Pete and
no,
I
but what I'm saying is for the purposes of the budget that you want to talk about, we know that $1 million will probably get us a parking lot, probably less than $1 million.
I agree.
So I don't think that not solutioning this tonight is really going to affect what we do to approve for the SIP plan.
No, I agree. All right, to be continued.
Fortunately, that's our like our theme song here.
Yeah,
I know. This we keep. So, anyway.
To be continued.
Instructor 1099 contract revisions. The mayor said we have not gotten any feedback from the attorney yet, so we're going
to
table
continued.
That. Okay. New business. To consider and act on a motion to elect the 2025 Park and Recreation Commission officers as follows. Chair Rocky Stone, Vice Chair William Barlow, Secretary Morgan Mathewson.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
Sounds good to me.
Sounds awesome.
And thanks to the existing officers for the past year, and in some cases long beyond that, for their service.
Thank you.
Should we do a roll call on that, Gloria?
Just take it.
No. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed.
Congrats.
Poor bastards.
Thank you. To Woo! Consider and act on a motion to approve the 2025-2026 recreation budget.
So moved.
I second it.
Discussion? Pete, I just wanted to make sure two areas that I thought of. I know I believe money's going to be tight this year, but you increase the part-time. Did you account for the minimum wage increase in your part-time budget?
Yes.
Now, did you adjust it?
$16.35.
But you've got that in here.
Yeah.
And then did you increase the line for the money we pay back from rentals?
I did.
You did. And you're comfortable with the number you put in there?
So far.
And you think you're going to get all new camp workers?
A few of my senior ones that have been here for 5-6 years won't be here.
Okay. They are returning.
Yes.
And when you look at it, you know, it's a $2,200 increase over your budget this year. That's very reasonable. I think you do a good job on this budget every year. So.
Well, we also increased the amount of revenue we're generating, so it's kind of like almost a wash. What's not included, of course, are the salaries that we don't know what they are yet. That's done by finance. They have a fund where once the contracts are settled, they transfer the money.
So will that happen before budgets are approved? Will that get approved before budgets are approved?
Nobody knows,
yeah.
Don't look at him, he doesn't know either.
Okay.
Nobody knows.
Because I think it was, when's the last time your contract was done? 2-3 years ago?
Yeah,
we went over budget on those line items because of that.
Well, again, the finance department has
okay.
I think we've been 6 months now without a contract. So.
Okay. Any other discussion? I think it's a good budget. I'm happy to support it. Voice vote okay, Gloria? Yeah.
So moved.
We already did that. I think.
Oh, we did? Oh, yeah. Oh, wait.
Roll call vote. I'm sorry.
I could not so move it.
The dollar amount is $150,200.
I think that's the, yeah. Wait a minute. Talking about this line here. above what you just read, 355.
What am I looking at? Oh, that's revenue. Sorry. $355,521.
I'm going to rip this apart.
Amend the emotion. toss.
You want to hit me?
Yes, actually.
So keep going.
To 300 and... No.
Does this inspire faith in your state or local government? Aren't we doing great here?
I amend the motion to consider and act on a motion to approve the capital improvement.
No.
Oh, the one above it. Motion to approve the 2025-26 recreation budget to in the amount of $355,521.
Does that need to be seconded? Second.
Discussion?
I think we're good with that.
Jesus.
All in favor?
Aye.
Oppose? Motion passed.
Point of order.
You still have your original motion on the floor.
Oh, my God.
I withdraw my motion.
No. Oh, okay.
She just amended that motion.
Yeah.
She just amended it.
No.
But you may have to.
What do you want me to do, Gloria?
I want you to go back to the.
Take your beating.
Okay. And either withdraw it.
I withdraw my motion.
Second.
Third.
Fourth.
Sorry.
We all flunked government class.
We good? Okay. To consider and act on a motion to approve the capital equipment improvement plan, SIP 2 for 2025-2030.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. So, plan is, we always do these 5 years out, so this plan basically brought in items that were in last year's budget for this year. The other thing, and Pete and I worked on this, we added one of the items that was identified during our walk-arounds this past year, which is the Camp Oakdale parking lot. And I think we discussed it a little bit then. I mean, I think everyone agrees that that's really bad.
You're talking specifically about the ball field area.
Correct.
It's
Camp Oakdale proper.
The sports complex.
Correct.
Parking lot. Okay.
And again, talking with the maintenance staff, they agree with that. I think John agrees with that. I think Pete agrees with that. So that while that's a new item, I personally, and I think Pete thought that was the highest priority, should be the highest priority item. Basically, all the other items were things we just pulled in from previous SIP plans. We didn't really rearrange them too much. I think we updated the dollar amounts the best we could based on the latest information we have. you lose track of things, you know, like the multi-use trails, I think were in there for like 130 grand, but that was probably 4 years ago. It was a while ago that he had pricing for that.
Yeah.
I don't know if the town has enough staff to go get pricing for everything that needs pricing. It's hurt us. You know, almost every project that has gone out to bid has come back way higher than any estimates we've put out there. I think the Camp Oakdale basketball courts are probably the exception. And I'm not just talking projects we've been involved in. I'm talking
everything
throughout the town. So, you know, I don't know how we fix that moving forward. But anyway, I don't know if anybody has any comments about the items on the SIP plan or the order they're in. Certainly willing.
Well, generally, I think the order reflects how we've developed this plan over the course of years. Things move up in priority or move down depending on circumstances. Sometimes they get accomplished and we can cross them off. And I think it is important, though, that this list can change through circumstances. And I, if as you say, it was Pete who recognized the need to make the sports complex parking area a top priority, I think he's right. I believe it's dangerous as it is, and needs to be addressed.
Yeah, just for the record, Morgan actually, when that was her area this year, she identified it. I think we've all seen it, yeah, and all agree with it.
Unfortunately, it was built at different times. Some of it was poorly constructed over probably an inadequate base and a poorly drained area to begin with. It needs a lot of work. It's going to be a big cost, but it's an important improvement.
Is that the number there? Is that just the ballpark that somebody came up with, or is that like?
So here's what I did. So the number two area was on there for, I think it was like 600,000, but based on these estimates we got from the CLA paving plans, I basically figured the paving across the street from the pavilion could be moved over to where the pickleball courts are, and that's where I came up with that $1 million, yep, for there. And then I did the square footage of those areas and compared it to the square footage over at Camp Oakdale. That's where I came up with the, yep, $2 million. So to directly answer your question, you know, we don't have
I was just curious.
There.
I didn't know if the lighting for the parking lot's never been upgraded, right? That's all still the old. I would just make
it's
a
really
comment that I would think that should be included in it too. Is there just one pole?
There's one pole in the parking lot that has three heads on it. So
felt like there was more.
And it's a bigger area. And who knows whether they can mill it or whether they got to take it down to some. I don't know. We probably should get quotes. Did you talk to John whether this would be on the Public Works plan or SIP plan, or whether we should leave it on the Park and Rec plan?
I did. I can't. Next.
We have that. You know.
Next Wednesday, the engineer will be back in town, so we can bring up a list of things that we want to discuss with him. He usually meets with John. I happened to be there this past time that he was here. Talked about our projects that were still outstanding. I'm like 20 minutes and then not long. He's there for a couple hours to join. So.
But all in all, everyone's pretty comfortable with this? Okay, so I'd like to withdraw my motion. as presented.
Do I have to second to withdraw? Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion withdrawn. Now I'd like to have a new motion.
So moved.
I'd like to amend the motion to consider an act on a motion to approve the capital improvement program for 2026 to 2030 in the amount of $44,632,000.
Second.
Any discussion?
Well, the major chunk's the community center here.
Yeah.
It's perennially on there.
Okay.
Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Oh.
Oh, you want a roll call vote on this? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Chase?
In favor.
Commissioner Carver?
Favor.
In
favor.
In favor.
In favor.
Favor.
We're all going to hang together. We're all going to hang together.
Okay. And on we go. Okay. Next is the Recreation Department Program Age Grouping Discussion. Like I said, you all may not be aware of this. So for many years, some of our programs have been presented. I'm looking at this is the dance program from the fall, actually. And the age groups listed age 5 and up, age 8 and up, age 9 and up, age 13 and up, age 13 and up. And basically, yoga did the same thing, karate does the same thing, judo does the same thing. This is lifted right out of the community booklet.
How did he get that?
This past fall, classes, when you go to the sign up page, they can't use the word and up. It has to be a number. So Eva educated me on this. The system defaults to a 99. So if you looked in our sign up pages, it says the age grouping is age 6 to 99, 7 to 99. So if an adult, And believe it or not, that the system, that is, if you were 100 years old and tried to sign up for the program, it wouldn't let you do it.
No tap dancing centurions.
Correct. Correct. It would let you. So at the time, I think, and we've discussed this off and on, I think, we were told that, you know, the 99 replaced the words and up. So in the fall class, and for many years before that, that's what has always been published by the town. The winter class, actually the current class, those 99s all got changed for dance to 18.
Did they get changed for dance only?
Yes.
Or for
yes.
Every program across the board?
You got to keep in mind that most other programs don't have a lot of classes, but it was for dance only.
It should be uniform,
okay.
Correct?
Well, I'm trying to give you some background, and then we.
No,
I'm
just asking.
It got changed for dance only, and what that did is when adults. I mean, you heard one.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna read some other letters into the record here in a minute. It wouldn't allow a 21-year-old to sign up for a high-level dance program. That's kind of what. So then, for this current session, now, but I believe at that time the dancers called. And they were allowed to sign up. Whoever, you know, whatever adult dancer was involved was allowed to sign up for the winter, like the current classes. There are adults dancing in the current classes.
Like per the discretion of, like, the instructor of the dance class. they were allowed to sign up.
Well, because it's still 699.
No, not for the winter class, it did not.
Oh, yeah, for the current one that's going on.
That's right.
Well, yes, because the decision has been made here.
Why is it not across the board, regardless of the program?
So.
But why wasn't it?
Made those changes in all the programs.
Okay, so across the board, Montville Parks and Rec is whatever the starting date, age, whatever.
Some are
great,
but yeah.
I'll say 8 because I don't know the age. To, I'm assuming, 18, 17, 18. Okay. And adults want to sign up beyond, obviously, the age of 18, parents, whatever. Is it at the discretion of the instructor of the program, or is it that you will not allow people beyond that to sign up?
Those programs that have an age limit have been children only, so 18, because we have adult programs that go beyond that.
That's not true.
Yoga,
adults have dance
volleyball.
Then.
And okay, so volleyball, is it, what are the age groups for? So do people under the age of 18 try to sign up for volleyball? They can't.
There are people under the age of 18 playing volleyball today.
Is it?
I'm just telling you.
The kids are now no longer in it because we went there and they tried to sneak in.
So
why is this being enforced now? Why are we minding ages now? The testimony that we were provided indicated that this had been going on for years, so.
I'm not sure of the years. I think it was just last one.
No, it was, no. It's,
this is,
I'm not aware of adults taking dance class other than the United States until
the
previous one.
Let's just, the all indications are that, what I can show you this if you want, that this end up has been used for 8 years. If no one in the recreation department understood what it meant,
Legos say end up as
you know,
well.
And it just took them till now to figure that out.
Is it possible?
You know,
we certainly don't want to squash anybody's desire, aspiration to better themselves, keep physically fit, keep active, keep connected with their children. Which is a big part of Parks and Rec, is, you know, having the same interests as your children and having that connection. Is it possible to put a stipulation in when you, if there are adults who want to sign up, say for a, I don't know anything about dance. I have basketball players. I don't know anything about it, so I'm flying blind. But is it possible to put a stipulation in, a clause, whatever it is, that it's at the discretion of the instructor whether they accept the adult who is signing up to participate in the class? And that way, the instructor has the final say in whether this person is an appropriate addition to the class, whether it be gender, age, like whatever it is, so that in this day and age, like, I mean, I'm a teacher, Kate's a teacher, like, you know, we've got the whole, like, bigger picture of things that can happen, but if it's at the discretion of the instructor and the instructor knows the person who's an active participant who wants to, for whatever their reason, be connected to their kid, be physically active, pursue to be just whatever their reason is, like, they have the authority to make that decision as to whether or not they will accept them into the class or not. And if it's in print and they got a weird vibe about that person, then they can say, thank you so much for your interest, but our program isn't right for you right now.
I think that's a very good point.
I don't know if that's possible, but it seems like that is a simple solution.
To the
issue.
Has the department gotten any complaints on this about adults participating in these programs? But have you received any complaints about parents being in the dance classes?
Right, but is that a clause that's written into the sign-up that in order to participate in the class, you have to be over the age of 16 and have a child in the class? Yes, so can we not do the same thing, maybe not a child in the class, but a child in the program, or at the discretion of the dance instructor?
Can I recommend we have a series of letters from some of the dance participants? Lori, could you read those into the record for us, please?
Okay, letter number one. The first letter I'm reading is from Catherine Linda of Oakdale, and it goes as follows. Mayor Bunnell and the Parks and Recreation Commission. The purpose of this letter is to ask for reconsideration on the recent decision to cap the age for level dance classes at age 18. As you may be aware, I am one of the adult dancers who has been taking the level 4/5 ballet class on Monday night at 6:30. I am also a student in the adult tap class on Tuesday night. Having the ability to attend these classes has made a huge impact in my life in such a positive way. Lana is one of the best dance instructors I have had the pleasure of learning from. As a former competitive dancer, I have had the opportunity to learn from many teachers, and her knowledge and patience is unmatched. I was introduced to the Montville Parks and Recreation dance program when registering my then 3-year-old daughter last year. I saw there was an adult tap class, and although hesitant at first, I made the decision to register and began classes at the end of November 2023. I can say that it was a great decision as I've had such a positive experience. This year, another adult and I expressed interest in taking classes for other forms of dance, specifically ballet. As we both have prior dance experience, it made sense to start at the 4/5 class level. Up until approximately a week ago, this class and others were listed up to age 99, and I am extremely disappointed to learn that now, because of a hasty decision I feel that was made without proper communication, I am now unable to take this class that has made such a positive impact in my life. On August 28th of this year, I learned that a genetic test I had done came back positive for
pharyngeal,
thank you, muscular dystrophy. The future is uncertain for me, as it's only a matter of time before I start to have symptoms of limb weakness, limiting my ability for exercise and movement of any kind. I have been a dancer my whole life, and to be able to attend class again at the higher level has made such a difference in not only my physical, but also my mental health. I am positive I am not the only person who would benefit from the decision to keep classes open to those of the appropriate skill level. It is my feeling that more thought should be put into a decision such as this. Consider the child who may have held back, now 16 and their senior of high school, unable to continue class with their friends because they have aged out. It would make sense to keep them from dancing in the program. It wouldn't
I apologize. It wouldn't make sense to keep them from dancing in this program. I understand the need to keep children safe, as I have two children in programs through Parks and Rec. Perhaps with more thought and a different outlook, we can together come up with a solution to keep the programs inclusive and safe to all. Thank you for your time and consideration. Catherine Linda. The second letter is from Brittany Casey of Oakdale to the Montville Parks and Recreation Commission. Hello, and thank you for listening with an open heart and mind to the questions and concerns of the families involved in Montville Dance. My family has been a part of the Montville Dance program since 2016, and for as long as I can remember, the dance classes that are open to teenagers in Montville are also open to adults. This always made sense to me, as adults may want to take a class for a variety of reasons. For instance, some adults may be former dancers. Dance is also a great form of exercise. Also, many former dancers from Montville have come back over the summer while in college and taken dance classes with Miss Lana and the teens as a way to reconnect with friends and stay in shape. In addition, this has allowed for some adults who have special needs and or disabilities to find a dance class. As research shows, dance has a myriad of benefits for persons with special needs, physical disabilities, and neurodivergence. The ability to allow people over 18 into the teen dance classes seems like a no-brainer, which is why I haven't blinked an eye in all these years, even when my teen was in some of these dance classes with adults. The adults are almost always adults we already know anyway. Most of them are parents of child dancers in Montville, or they are young adults who used to dance with us when they were minors. It seems odd and unfair to all of a sudden reverse. It seems odd and unfair to all of a sudden reverse a decision that has been in place with every indicator of success for years. The two mothers who attend the Monday night teen ballet class have been enrolled in the class for months without incident. Why is this all of a sudden something that isn't deemed safe? Furthermore, other parks and recreation programs have been open to myriad of ages. Why was dance all of a sudden called into question? If the claim is no one was aware of this, then how has it been happening for the last 8+ years? How in the world did every parent and townsperson in Montville realize this was an option, but no one in the Parks and Rec office did? Simply put, that doesn't make a bit of sense. Unless a dance program is specifically being targeted for some unknown reason, why in the world does it matter if some adults are taking an advanced teen dance class, especially considering it's always been done without incident and the parents of the teens are well aware and furthermore comfortable with the decision? I would encourage you all to rationally realize this is a nonsensical new rule to establish. Its purpose and intent seem hazy. I cannot for the life of me ponder why this is happening specifically to the dance program now. The few adults taking dance classes should be allowed to. It's that simple. This is about equitable access and past practice, and it only makes sense to allow this to continue on as it has. Thanks for your time. This third letter is from Hannah O'Donnell. She says, my name is Hannah O'Donnell and I am 15 years old. I have been dancing with Miss Lana for almost 4 years now. I would like to show my support to continue allowing adults to dance in the higher level classes. I think they are a great addition to the class and should be able to participate. Thank you for your time. This letter is from Kate O'Donnell of Basra. My kids have been dancing with Lana through Montville Parks and Rec for the last 4 years. I'm writing this letter to show my continued support of adults enrolling and participating in the higher level classes. I think it's great that the younger students, especially the young women, see that adults can still explore their passions or hobbies, even after finishing school or starting a family, etc., that it's never too late to try something new. My oldest daughter is enrolled in a class that currently has adults and has also submitted a letter of support. Thank you.
One more.
I'm looking for the name, thank you. This letter is from Lana Davison of Preston. Montville Parks and Recreation Commissioners, Montville, Connecticut. Commissioners, I'm writing this letter to you as I'm unable to be present at the upcoming meeting due to teaching until 8 p.m. I thank Commissioner Stone for agreeing to read this letter aloud. I have taught dance classes for Montville Parks and Recs for the past 17 years. During this time, majority of the classes have been submitted to Parks and Rec as, quote unquote, an age number and up. Throughout the years, I have had adults take classes with teens and also teenagers take an adult listed class as well. There has never been an issue up to this point, and there have been no adults take class that were not in the dance community family, meaning they were a parent or teen related to another dancer. For the first two dance sessions of this year, I had two adults registered for the 13 and up ballet class, level 4-5, which is listed 13 through 99 years of age, as had been in the past. When these ladies went to register for the third session, it came about that they did not qualify based on their age because class was changed to ages 13 through 18, with me not knowing this, nor it not having been discussed with me. The Montville administrative assistant emailed me saying, quote, "We were not aware adults took classes with kids," end quote, even though they had taken prior registrations over the phone from these two adult women. All I'm asking is why the change after this was the practice for years. As it stands, I do not offer an adult ballet class. These two women were placed in this class by me to give them a challenge based on their current ability and devotion to advance themselves. It has been mentioned that additional adult ballet class could be added, which I will do if necessary. My concern is these two students have been exposed to challenging instruction in that class and would not necessarily have that same challenge in a new adult class, seeing as a new class would have to be taught at the level of the new enrollees. If the commission decides that no adults would be in class with teens, of course we will adhere to it. My desire is that you consider that myself being the instructor, you will have confidence in me knowing I will not bring jeopardy to anyone's child in my classes. My classes are always on camera for anyone to see, as parents do while waiting in the parents' room. If this decision will be changed to not allow dance community adults to take classes with teens or vice versa, I'm hoping that this new policy will be enforced throughout the town's community programs and not just the dance program. In closing, I am asking that the choices for parents of our dancers be allowed to join in a class if that is their desire. It would always be a person who has a connection with the dance program, or I will not allow it. I understand the privilege of teaching our community and will always have their interests in the forefront. I'm hoping logical and cool heads see that there's no need to change what has already worked well for everyone concerned. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Gloria. So that's a little background on from dancers and dance parents and the instructor. you know, we as a commission, I think, just got to look for consistency and quality through all our programs. You know, as we sit here today, like gyms, the advanced gym class lists age 7 to 99. That has never been changed. So, you know, part of this,
What is the advanced gym class? Like
gymnastics.
Oh, gymnastics.
Right. That has nothing to do with
it. So that. Doesn't it make sense to make across the board all Parks and Rec, whatever the low number of admittance into a Parks and Rec program, to 18, but include the stipulation or clause or however it needs to be worded, that if there's adults who want to participate, I certainly wouldn't want to squash anyone's, like I said before, anyone's desire for whatever, mental health, physical health, whatever the reasoning is, that they want to participate, connection to their children, whatever it is, that it's at the discretion of whoever the instructor is. It's across the board for all Parks and Rec programs. And that way, it seems like a select few of adults who want to participate in dance and are vetted or at the approval of the instructor of the class can participate in it. And if those adults who seem maybe questionable or however it's worded are simply told that due to the clause, you can't.
Well, what happens now if, regardless of age issue, someone enrolls in a class that the instructor finds or suspects to be questionable? Maybe they're 17 years old or something like that. I mean, I don't mean to be, you know, critical in saying this, but I think I have a concern with vesting authority in instructors to make this determination.
Then maybe they shouldn't be instructors.
Somehow differently than it may be already being made. What do we do now in a situation like that? And is it necessary to introduce policy language like that? I mean, the other thing is, as well, is that it's obviously inherently in the nature of some kinds of programs or activities that the appropriateness of adults participating with children may be different than others. I can't see us offering a, you know, football instruction class for, you know, ages, 8 to 80 or something like that.
Right, but we also don't offer football because it's a private LLC done separately.
My point is not football in particular. It's that some different kinds of activities mm-hmm. are more appropriate for all age groups as opposed to very small age groups, young age groups or older age, for that matter. But but backing up a step, all I've really heard about all of this in terms of concern about what we may be worried about is that there's a computer glitch and it's resulted in things changing mm-hmm. from as they had been to as they are now. I haven't heard.
It's not a computer glitch. It's a default.
It was a directed change made to the computer system didn't allow certain adults.
But what I haven't heard, and I'm not saying that this isn't an issue under the surface, and if it is, it needs to be addressed appropriately. But I haven't heard that we're in violation of some law, that we're in violation of legal advice that we've received, that the town's insurance carrier has told us we're going to be dropped if we don't live at the dance class to 18 and below,
none of that, or
anything like that.
No, nothing.
And I don't know the answer to this. Is it possible, and again, I don't know anything about dance, so I'm asking this like with the ignorance that I'm presenting. Is it possible for dance instructors to offer said classes, whatever they are, and I don't know what they are, I don't know what the minimum enrollment is for dance classes.
Six to eight, two
adults with a minimum enrollment of six people. Like, I don't know the answer to that because I don't know. So
there is an adult class already for TAP class.
And when the default changed from what
99.
Was it 13 or whatever 99. The lower number is to 99 for all programs, I'm assuming, across the board?
Yes.
No.
Were
changed all of the I'll just talk about all the 99s in the dance were changed to
for
the
dance.
Exception of the adult class.
Not just dance, but all Parks and Rec programs across
She's
the board.
Working on that now. She's changing what needs to be changed.
And is there is there...
Let's back up one second.
It seems like the compunction...
Last session, dance was changed. No other program was touched. Dance only.
Okay.
So he...
Okay. So was Lana, who I'm assuming would be the contact person, was she informed of this change?
No.
Like, was she informed that this change was going to happen so that she could then inform the... however many adults it was who were trying to enroll into the program that they would not be able to do that due to the default change?
No.
Okay. Why not?
From our point of view, all these classes, with the exception of that one, have always been kids' classes. And
but the default doesn't stipulate that. Okay.
So if there's an adult class, which years ago, Lana came to us and said, I have a bunch of women that would like to take a dance tap class.
Mm-hmm.
Can I start one? I said, absolutely, go ahead. What day, what time, how much you going to charge, all the whole 9 yards. So now we have an adult tap class.
Okay, so is it possible that through a default of communication, it wasn't presented to the dance program that these changes were made, which could also be inciting the frustration that people who are trying to enroll in the dance program are experiencing because the last two sessions they didn't have a problem. Now the third session is in play. They're trying to enroll and now they're faced with that barrier that they're not able to do that because it wasn't communicated that there had been a change, which could be leading to people's frustration in how they're feeling right now. So I don't know what the solution is. I just feel like
this
bleeding heart as the mother of two daughters, even though neither of them dance, thank God. If it was something that I wanted to participate and experience with my kids, I would like to be able to have that opportunity. And I feel like if a clause was in place for the safety of not only my own children, but the other children in the class, that's a viable solution. But I also feel like we have not done them a service because we have not been responsible in communicating that there has been a change. And I don't know if that comes from Parks and Rec. I don't know if it comes from Lana. I don't know where it comes from, but I feel like we have somewhat dropped the ball in communicating with these families that there has since been a change. And perhaps they could recruit three of their friends to participate in whatever dance class they are choosing to participate in, and they could create an adult class where they could be amongst their peers and still connecting with their kids in a shared passion. And I really feel like we've not helped them that much.
It seems like the basis of our frustration is safety and security. And we've opened up a can of worms, which is, you know, adults are allowed into the class right now. And now, of course, the worry that has gone, I don't think anybody stated it, you know, we don't know what adults are in the class. Historically, it's been people who are affiliated with the dance community, but now the can of worms is open and we're worried about people we don't know infiltrating the program or the like.
Well, right. Like, well, Bob from New London could want to join the program, and if we don't know anything about Bob from New London and he has no kids, it is a concern. But I think there's a compromise that can be made. We just have to have a level head to figure it out.
Yeah, and I do agree that one of the biggest problems here is the poor communication of what was going on. I personally would propose that, again, understanding how the system is. The system, because all the signups are done online now. So when you go to register a kid, I think you have to put their birth date in. So it has to fall within a range. So if the classes says it's 3 to 5, because some of the classes do say 3 to 5 years old. Go ahead, John.
I'm looking at a website right now, and it's by level with a minimum age and up.
Well, so let me address that.
This is our website.
I know. We're not consistent on our own website. We've changed it in some places to 7 to 18, but in other places it still says 7 and up.
It still says an adult's on the newsletter as well.
It Which says falls right under now, the line yeah. of the inconsistency so of the communication.
I'll read what it says. Level 1, classes are for children 5 years and up. Levels 1, 2, children 7 years and up. 2, 3. 9 years and up. 3, 4. And it says classes are for children 11 years and up. It says it for every one of these. 4, 5. Classes are for children 13 years and up. That's our website.
Correct.
So I'm trying to wrap my head on what our problem here is.
Well, if you go, so that is the information on the program.
When there we're contradicting ourselves elsewhere.
Correct. 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 The biggest problem here is communication. How this was communicated, it was kind of done, you know. Anyway, if you go to sign up today, this if you look on the town website and click on programs, you can see what it says. So it says, one of them says 4 to 6. When you put the child's or person's age in, if they're not within the 4 to 6, you can't sign up for that class.
But that's not what we're advertising.
This is from our website. This is the actual sign-up sheet.
Which is the same website that you're looking at.
He's looking at the beginning part of the sign-up sheet.
I started at the basic website,
but then when you go to the description of the class, it states...
When you go to the sign-up portion,
I started out where if I was going to start this class.
Yep.
And this is where I went, well, this is an argument in contradiction of what's being discussed.
Right.
So, do we contract with Ms. Davidson?
Excuse me?
Do we contract with Ms. Davidson when we get her to teach her classes? Is there any stipulations of the age range of her classes within the contract?
So, yes. And every single one that has ever been submitted says and up.
So if somebody...
Single one of them.
If we were to start discriminating based off of age, saying, you know, you can't come in at this age, could somebody, you know, very well... And this is an extreme example. I don't know if this would happen, but like Sue and say.
I don't think we're worried about
it. It's not discrimination.
No, but.
But again, is it possible to just put a clause in
so that's where
program
I was,
that states.
That's where I was going, Mary. I think right now, if you know, we need to be consistent, number one. I don't really see anything wrong with us for the automatic sign-up of, for these classes that now say 5 to 18 or 7 to 18, leaving those alone. And that if an adult wants to sign up for one of these classes, whether it's an advanced level tap class or that should be done at the discretion and between the any program instructor and the director. I would think they would be able to accommodate the few people that this affects.
The only problem,
I would think. But I also think
the only,
that
the, also, the only problem is the word discrimination having been thrown out there. Now you're talking about vesting in an instructor the ability to discriminate, and based on age. And
if it's stated at the discretion of the instructor,
that's what discretion means.
But it discretion doesn't mean age; it could mean anything.
Well, that's right. That's
like
that's
it,
right.
How is that done now?
What is done in these programs now? If someone signs up, shows up, and the instructor decides, you know, this person is just not a good fit for the group, I don't like the look in his eyes or something like that. How is it dealt with? And how is that any different from what you're proposing?
Why isn't there an 18 and up class?
Yeah, exactly. And is this?
I didn't hear what you said, Peter. I'm sorry.
I was just kind of thinking off the top of my head that giving any instructor, it doesn't matter what program we'll offer, if we give them the discretion, as you say, whether the person can be in the class or not, that's really putting the town at risk, as well as the instructor.
Oh, yeah. As well as the instructor.
Yeah, that's kind of, but not to cut you off, Pete, but for the last 8 years, anybody could sign up. Any age, okay?
He's saying children 5 and up. Children 5 and up. Children
7 and up. The lower end implies children. On up implies potentially adults.
It says children 5 to 99.
Well, I mean, that's what the default is.
Children and up doesn't... And up, like children
an adult
5
class,
to
an adult class.
18 implies children.
I mean, decision to make, but.
By changing that to 18 and leaving it, when I say discretion, maybe that's the wrong word, but
yeah,
if somebody wants to, you know, if our instructors, who we have vetted and we have many years' experience with almost every one of these instructors, you allow karate to let take the class
again to play devil's advocate.
If the instructor says it's okay, right? Why should dance be any different?
Parent and child.
I'd like to submit a little brain thought, a wrinkle which appeared in my noggin. What if we were to, and this is going to make not many, no one's going to be happy, but what if we were to allow parents who have a child in the program to be admitted to the class, should they so desire, and anybody who does not have a child will have to be relegated to the adults-only program. Unfortunately, I mean, you know, there are some folks, based on Ms. Davidson's testimony, that would be disadvantaged by it, but it seems like the most feasible solution, given all the pondering we've done about this.
If they have a child in the dance program, regardless of their age,
they can enroll
in the dance program. Then, that being said, which is fine, that's fine, but you need to allow that for all programs, don't you?
It's got to be uniform.
So
realistically, don't you allow that for all programs, which includes adult volleyball. If I was to enroll, which I never would, but if I was to enroll in adult volleyball and I happen to have a 14-year-old daughter who wanted to do it, and it's adult volleyball, now I'm in adult volleyball, so then she should be able to do it too.
Is the worry with...
It seems that there are programs, if we don't have them, that other communities do, that are designed for parent-child participation.
Correct.
Classes and so on. And there seems no reason not to pursue those. And some classes can, or, you know, not necessarily dance, but others, you know, as well, you know, might be set up just for children in different age groups, mm-hmm. and adult classes as well.
And please, you know, don't misunderstand
no,
me.
I'm not against
this. Like, I want people to be able to enjoy whatever it is that they want to do, mm-hmm. regardless. I just think there has to be some sort of safety protocol in place.
So why were the children removed from the adults' volleyball? Was it over safety concerns, they get hurt, or the like? Because if that's the case, we could implement a waiver program, like, for field trips that kids have to sign.
Well, the adult volleyball program is 18 to 99.
Then that's easy. We can just under 18.
But again, all you have to do is put your birth date down that yeah. you're 18 and you're in.
That's true.
We seem to be kind of coalescing in the direction
there's
of
there's no proof of how old you are. Like, you don't have to produce anything when you
if you're
sign
18
up.
If you're 18, the likelihood of you having a government document is very high, whether it's a driver's license or otherwise.
Right, but online you still
you could
have
produce
to produce,
that.
You don't produce no.
validity.
I mean, is the complaint really is the complaint here that people in their 60s with no connection to anyone else in the class, aren't being able to allowed to participate now in classes for 8-year-olds? I don't think that's not the case at all.
Is the complaint more about the situation, or is it more about the lack of communication? Like, that's where I am having a little bit of an issue with.
I think the bedrock of the situation we have in front of us is the worry for the potential of what could be, and the lack of guardrails that we currently have.
So there's other things we haven't considered besides the couple of adult, say, dancers. Is that, what if I'm a 18-year-old dancer, I go to college, and now I'm 19, and I want to dance this year? Would we stop a 19-year-old from coming back and joining the program?
But isn't there adult programs that they could enroll in?
We have one adult program for one session.
And again, it goes back to my initial, if there's...
Why wouldn't we allow that?
And again, I don't know if there's a minimum. I don't know anything about dance. So is it possible to recruit people? I don't know how it works.
We could use the Obamacare age. I will be on my parents' insurance until 26. We could bump it up to 26.
Again, I go back to my original statement of, although it does raise a lot of questions, I think it's the lack of respect that has been presented in the lack of communication about the change. I think if the change had been verbalized through email, phone call, however it is, and the respect was shown that there was a change that was going to occur from session 1 to 2 to 3, that perhaps we'd be in a different place right now. Again, like, I certainly don't want to diminish anyone's experience with whatever it is that they choose to do with their leisure time, but I think it comes down to a lack of respect for communication. Communication is key. And if you can't take the time to send an email that there's been a change in the protocol, then people are going to be pissed. It's that simple.
But are they still, all that being true, doesn't it seem like they're still upset at the change regardless of how
it's hard to know. Are they upset at the change? Are they upset at the lack of respect that they were shown to not be aware of the change? Had they been aware of the change, perhaps they could have reached out to the small number of mothers or fathers or siblings or whoever it was to express that this change was going to occur, and then they could have gone forward. But
so,
because there was no communication about change,
before we're talking about the communication of the change, we haven't even decided what that change is going to be. Right now we're deciding the change that happened is clearly there's no consensus.
The change in
there's no consensus yet. There's no consensus yet on the change.
What I'm talking about, no.
Right, but there's no consensus yet on the change that has been implemented.
Correct,
in the dance.
But I'm talking about the previous. Ms.
I ask you, can I finish?
Change. Yes. Okay.
Thank you. So, we need to discover what the parity. Ms. Hillman keeps talking about parity between all the programs that our department offers to the town, which is a very pertinent thing to bring up. But before we talk about the logistics of communicating all this, we ought to decide what it is that we're going to be implementing, what our new policy is, if we're adopting a new policy at all. I would want to decide what we're going to do with the dance program before we decide how we're going to disseminate it out to the people, which it is very important to do. We have to keep the end user in mind, but we ought to decide what it is that we want to implement as a commission.
My question is what is this a legal issue, right? We talk about liability and the legality of everything, and having running a program where we have adults mixed in, and as you mentioned, what could happen, right? Because we don't know who everybody is. We have people that sign up for yoga classes, which are all adults, and we don't know who those people are, right? And just because there's no children in there doesn't mean nothing's going to happen. But obviously, there's more concern here because you're mixing adults with children. And in my opinion, for the particular dance classes, I don't see a problem with it. But I understand that there's the liability part on the town that we have to be concerned about. So for me, that's the biggest question before we decide anything: is how are we supposed to handle this situation? Are we allowed to have programs where we allow children and adults mixed in it? Does the town attorneys or insurance allow that? I think that's the question we need answered before we can make any kind of
at that point
progress.
Our hands are tied. We need to comply with
exactly.
with law or insurers' directions, and we'll deal with that. But yep. You know, until we have that information, I don't.
Yeah, and I don't think any of this was brought up because of any concern about any of that.
And with that, I don't know. Does it make sense to put it back to the way it was till we get those answers, or do we play it safe and leave it as it is?
I would propose a compromise. I don't, again, if there really is concern about, you know, some 50-year-old man just being able to sign up for dance and show up in a tutu and start dancing, okay, if you want to control that, I don't necessarily have a problem with changing the ages as they've been changed to limit it to 18. But I think we need to afford the opportunity. You know, the letters are clear that there are people that are upset because they want to dance. They've been allowed to dance for years or a certain amount of time, and they want to be able to continue. And right now, my understanding is they can't continue. So I would like to see them to continue. That's my cut.
You have a grandfather clause.
Excuse me?
You have a grandfather clause.
Well, you know, and I don't have a
problem.
Is it
possible to over what?
No.
My understanding is it's two people. Is that correct?
Let me back up a little, please. Online sign-ups would limit, say, a 20-year-old from signing up for dance class now. What's wrong with, right now, they call the Park and Rec Department. And what's wrong with them doing that for these one or two or three? It's never more than a handful of people. I don't think it's ever been, I don't know the max amount, but it's probably no more than
nothing
three
wrong
or four people. What's
like,
that?
Theoretically, there's nothing wrong with them calling and wanting that to happen. But perhaps if does happen and it's three or four, then an adult class is created.
But I think that would happen. I think we have to have some trust in the dance instructor or the yoga instructor that they would add another class if they got that much interest in doing it. I think they would. I agree that I think the communication was a part of this and just how it was implemented.
again, I think it's clear that, you know, there's people that would like to continue to be able to dance. And I don't see why, like I said, as long as we're fair and consistent throughout all the programs, if we want to, you know, cap these classes at 18 years old and then I don't know why we can't come up with something to allow into, you know, case by case basis, potentially letting people continue to dance, or I don't know. I don't know why. I think that's what we should try to strive to achieve here. That's what I think we should do.
And throwing into the mix, Rocky, it seems like some of this might be resolved by addressing either a separate category or a policy with respect to participation of parents and children in classes together, which is a little bit of a different thing, I would think.
So they do that for one of our other programs.
Yeah, yeah.
So perhaps we could implement that same policy right now with dance until...
Well, but you don't have
figure something else out.
People do not have to sign up online. They can call and sign up directly through the Park and Rec office.
So,
right?
So if Sally was to call you and sign up because her daughter Lucy is in the 6 to 8 year old class and she wants to take whatever, and she's in a different, again, I don't like a different level, you would override that and allow that?
We could, yes.
Right, that's what I'm asking. Like, if we implemented this temporary, we'll say temporary clause, whatever, that you would allow that. But if Bob from New London wanted to join the hip-hop class of 12-year-old girls, you would not allow that?
No.
Okay. Like, until we figure out the wording and the parameters and the boundaries of this, like, I don't think that's a lot to ask, that if the parent has a child in the program, program class moving forward, you will override and allow that parent to join the class or a class.
You guys have the policy.
I'm asking, like, because
I don't think we, so I don't know if all the people currently dancing are dancing with their kids. I do not know that.
I don't know. I don't know anything about dance. I wouldn't recognize Lana if she was standing in front of me right now. Oh. Hi.
We don't usually interact with the public. That's why I'm not ignoring you. We don't usually do that. If you want to ask Lana a question, go ahead.
How many people is it that want to enroll in the class, in any class?
Okay, if I go back to the summer, summertime, I had one adult that came with her child. The first session, we're on the third currently, we start on Saturday. On first session, we had three adults, and the second session, we have two, are the ones that tried to register for
the... So two people tried to enroll in the third session,
yes.
And they were denied.
They were denied on
because of
online.
Their age.
Yes, they were.
Okay, so it's just
online.
Two people.
Yes,
and no more than that.
But they're not. They're in a teens class.
They're not with their child.
And in.
But is their child enrolled in a different
yes
dance
yes.
program
they're
within
all,
your program?
Throughout the years, any adult that I had put into in an advanced teen class has always been. A child's mother, grandmother.
So the two people who tried to enroll that were denied have children enrolled in the program.
For the least, one has over been with me for 4 years,
okay.
And one has been with me for 2 years.
Okay.
But I've also had the other where I've had teens that are brand new, like 16, and wanted to take a tap class. And I have put them in with adults because they were 16, and they went in there too.
But in the current, in the session that's going to start on Saturday.
Saturday.
It's just these two people.
Two women that are, yes.
Okay.
They're in my
okay,
in my
so
belly.
They're not currently signed
I'm
up.
Not disregarding, but disregarding the previous,
disregarding
the future, it's these two people.
Yes, so they are actually, Eva took their payment money, so they are in there, and then...
So they are currently enrolled in the program as of now.
They received a letter from one of the students... one of the mothers received an email from Peter stating that it had to come to here. And then if it was okayed by you to continue, then they would hold them. They would be there for Monday.
So you've held their spot pending this meeting, and it will be overrode for those two people to be enrolled in session number three.
Three, yes.
Is it three?
Yes.
Seven.
Okay.
We didn't want them to lose the spot.
I understand that.
Filling up, so
right. So, again, that's different information than what we had. But, again, so those two people tentatively have spots depending on what we decide here right now as to whether they can officially enroll in the third session of dance. Okay.
Yes.
And they have children who are in the program existing already.
Yes.
Do you think it would be possible for us to
My personal opinion is let them dance.
Yeah, again, in support of that, it seems like it's the situation has not changed except for the change in the ability to sign up through the system that has kicked these two people out.
Correct. Right? And the lack of communication. But
well, that is what.
Yes, but
and it may be that in the
future. If we're voting, let them dance.
It may be that maybe in the future that information will be brought to our attention.
Yes.
Regarding legal matters, insurance matters, anything like that. But that has not happened at this point.
So what I don't want is, you know, to have to go through this again.
Okay. But
it's ridiculous.
For this
really
particular instance.
Okay. So why can't we allow this? But
I'm gonna propose an executive session.
Why can't it? You know,
there's a lot. As we've seen, there's a lot to discuss on this thing. What if we just lived and let live with this scenario? Because, you know, obviously these folks are not unknown quantities. They're not coming from Timbuktu, and we don't know who they are, and et cetera, et cetera. But hash out in executive session so we can all scream at each other in confidence some sort of policy. Because there's a lot of questions that got brought up about parity, about security, about liability, and there's a whole bunch of nuanced discussion that might require the town attorney. Who knows? But for the time being, for this next program, to buy ourselves a couple months, you know, just live and let live for right now, and then commit to figuring out what our next steps are going to be by the end of the term.
For now, we're just being asked to, in effect, override the inability of the new system to register these people. There's no change in policy.
So.
There's no change in policy at this point.
I make a motion to override and let these two people dance.
Second. Commissioner Carver.
did a lot of discussion beforehand.
You waiting for me?
Yeah.
Voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. The ayes have it. I'm opposed because we should put it to bed. We don't need to keep dragging this out. This is ridiculous. But
there are some legitimate concerns.
I'll acquiesce to the rest of the commission. There's a problem where there shouldn't be a problem.
Wait a minute, how do we get an executive session?
Yes.
Will we schedule an executive session next month?
Next week?
Or next month, I mean. And settle this in executive session. We're just us. We discuss it.
A special meeting.
Okay, let's move on. Remarks from the public.
Thank you, commissioners. We appreciate your time and effort in all this, but I got to talk about the white elephant in the room. And what that was, this whole thing came about because Parks and Rec decided on a last minute, I don't want to say gotcha, but I'm going to say gotcha anyway. That's how this came about. Lana was caught flat-footed with this decision. She wasn't discussed anything with her, had nothing to do with the weird guy from Norwich who wants to come in and take dance. It had nothing to do with this. This was a gotcha moment by somebody who has been a little unsupportive here of late to the dance program. And it goes on both sides. The director's got a responsibility, so does the instructor, so do I. I'll take part of that responsibility because I'm part of it with Lana. I'm Mr. Lana, if anybody doesn't know. So why the change? That's the big question, right, you had. Why the change? We were wondering the same thing. That was the first question I wrote down I was going to ask. I was going to put out to you. Why? Why the change? Has anybody been to a lot of dance recitals? Well, if you have, you've seen adults and teens dance together. It's only been that way for the last 17 years. So why the change? I'm going to ask you one more time. One of our big concerns was whether or not this was going to be leveled straight across the board to the other programs. It's still a concern to me. And where will it end? There's other people in that building besides dancers. There's Girl Scout people. There's other adults and children walking around. Where does it end with the concern? You're concerned about dance. Are you concerned about those two? Is there going to be separate bathrooms for everybody? Where does it end? If I sound a little bitter, I am. You got this woman who kills herself for your town, for your parents. And this is what we get. So I am very thankful that you guys came to a cool-headed decision to allow this to continue, these two adults. I do want to reiterate, there is no one participating in the dance program that is not in the dance family of Montville. One more time. If they're not in the dance family, they're not going to be allowed to participate. And Lana does appreciate the fact that you give her that discretion, that confidence, whatever you want to call it, whatever word, that is heavily appreciated. So that's all I got. That's all I got. I just wanted to say I'm happy that you guys came up with this. I hope it could be better communications between the director and the instructor here on. It should be. There should be no reason why they work against each other. Should be. Thank you for your time.
Could you just state your name and address for the record, please?
Yes, sir. I'm Harold Davison. I live at 9 Doolittle Road, Preston, Connecticut. with Ms. Lana.
Thank you. Remarks from the public?
Hi, I'm Becca. I spoke earlier. If you need me to state my name and address again, I can. All right, Rebecca Rothholtz, 63 Beechwood Road in Oakdale. I just wanted to provide a little bit of clarification on the situation. There was no complaint presented whatsoever for myself and Catherine Katie dancing in the level class. It was a cause of concern on our part when we had to call and register, and it was very, we weren't sure what direction it was gonna go in. We were told that, it's kind of like gone, and it got escalated to the commission, to the mayor, and we're like, are we gonna be allowed to even continue? So Katie had emailed Peter, and she had told us what his response was. I didn't get any such email, but it sounds very much like, we don't agree with adults dancing with children, so I don't think it's gonna happen. So the email said, last session our system defaulted to age 99. We did not catch the fact that an adult had signed up for a class. As you know, we have a separate adult tap class to satisfy that need. Tap and ballet are not the same. Let's just say that right there. So if there is a need for an adult ballet class, we will ask Lana to add one to the schedule as we have done in the past when a class is wanted. The Parks and Recreation Commission sets policies for the department. They will make the final decision on this matter. In the meantime, both the mayor and a town counselor are not in favor of mixing kids and adults in the same class unless it is a parent child class specifically set up for that to occur. Eva allowed your registration until the final decision is made. If the decision is to keep the classes just for adults, you will be refunded the fee. If Lana wants to start an adult ballet class, we will transfer your fee to that class. Sorry, my allergies. It did not sound at all as if we were going to be allowed to continue in the level 4-5 class. I will say, too, that at a certain point, it doesn't become about age, it becomes about the level of, you know, talent, experience, and ability. And as previously stated by myself and a few of the other participants and parents, there is no issue here with us coexisting within the class. I know y'all were talking about the wording. I do believe, and I was trying to pull it up on the website, that there is a note saying that Lana reserves the right to move dancers into the class that is appropriate for them. So you were talking about capping the ages online at 18. Well, suppose somebody signs up for a class that they've never danced before, and they want to just jump into a level 4-5 class, that would not be appropriate for them. As it stands, they could sign up for it online, but Lana still reserves the right to move them where they would belong based on ability. I was like, my daughter is 11, and she's in a level 1-2 ballet class, which, I mean, technically, based on her age, she could be in a higher level. She just doesn't have the ability right now. And as it stands with the wording of as long as a child is enrolled, say my children decide next year they don't want to participate in dance, am I then going to be excommunicated? Or say, like it's been an example has been brought up before, say you have a young adult who's just graduated high school and is 19, so therefore too old for the classes, are they not going to be allowed to come back? So I think stipulating that a child, because, I mean, not everybody who is 19, 20 is going to have a child in the program, but should still be allowed to participate, based on the discretion of the instructor. Thank you.
Thank you. Remarks from the public.
Leonard Bunnell, 5 Little John Drive, Mayor of Santa Monica. The question was asked, why the change? The change was not because of a vendetta or targeted program. I don't believe that for a minute. The change was started because it was an attempt to safeguard our children. Plain and simple, safeguard our children. It was to create a checks and balance to prevent what's happening across the country. It happened just this past year in Connecticut. That's why the change. What we did wrong was this is the commission's decision, not the director's decision. My fault. I'll take responsibility for that because before any changes were made, it should have come to the commission and with a suggestion or with an issue, what the objective is, completely, and let you decide rather than a change made and question the motive of everybody else. This is not about the good fortune that we have had up to this point. Because the good fortune that we've had up to this point, when something bad happens, it ain't gonna mean a tinker's dam when a court of law, because the question will be, why didn't the town have checks and balances? Now it's brought before the commission to create those checks and balances, plain and simple, because we don't want someone who we don't know signing up for a class and saying, I wanna be a dancer. Only because they want to get close to the kids. That's what we have to have checks and balances against.
Thank you. Remarks from the public. Remarks from the public. Remarks from the public. All right, thank you. Remarks from Town Council Liaison Southard.
I actually have a lot to say tonight, but I'm not going to say as much as I really want to. I want to thank the commission for putting forward a good budget. It's an excellent budget, and I know that it was done with a lot of care, knowing what we're looking at in the town. I want to address the dance program personally. I am a teacher. I sit through trafficking PD every year. I'm a mandated reporter. My mind automatically goes bad. It's the nature of the beast with what I do on the daily. It's just how it is. Lana, I think you're exceptional. I remember you when you came to my school for hot schools 27 years ago. It's a long time ago. You worked in Mrs. DeLapp's class. So we go back. I know that you are excellent. I will say that this was definitely an issue with communication, and I apologize for that. I have always been under the impression that it was just children. When it says children, 8 and up, children. I hear the word children. I assume it's children. I did not know that it was parents dancing with their kids. I now know that. That changes my opinion. Safety for me, and I always say this, safety is paramount for me, and I just want to make sure that nothing happens to any children in town or from our guests that come into town for your classes. And I know that you are vigilant. I have no doubt about that. And I want you to know that. Okay? So there is nothing. Okay? All right. But you know, having a safety net for kids is really, really important. And I am going to just leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate. Remarks from the commissioners. Commissioner Chase.
the mayor and others have summed up.
You skipped one there.
The obvious concern.
Sorry.
Oh.
You skipped.
Who did I skip? Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Bushway. Sorry. We're good. Okay.
Moving on. Sorry.
The mayor and others have summed up the obvious concern here. And this is something I have a feeling that we're going to be facing, whether in the executive session that's proposed or at other times going forward. When presented with solid information as to what the law requires, what our insurance carrier requires, and so on. I felt, quite frankly, blindsided tonight by all of this. Perhaps others felt the same way. I'm not even sure if we fully came to agreement as to the end, and even if that, what the problem is that we're trying to solve right here and right now. And at the same time, as expressed by the mayor, there is a real issue out there, and it needs to be grappled with. So I'm just sorry for the sake of everyone that's had to spend so much time on this, including members of the public and, you know, Ms. Lana and Mr. Lana. A can of worms may have been opened here. I hope for the moment we've done the best we could, but I know that we're going to have to grapple with this at a deeper level going forward. And Len, I do appreciate your concern, and I appreciate the position that you're in, the responsibility that you carry as mayor of this town when it comes to things like this. Sometimes there's no easy solution, no easy answer. I hope you don't feel that we've kicked the can down the road, because I think this issue is very much on our radar screen now. And we look forward to what help you can provide as we sort out the appropriate solution, which may not make everyone happy as we go forward on this.
Thank you.
I got nothing.
I'll just ditto what he just said.
Oh, me?
Aren't you glad you came, Matt?
I think you guys saved this for my first day back in a long time. No, that's fine. I apologize for not being here in a while. With my schedule and the things I'm involved with, there's been a lot of Wednesdays I've been unavailable, but I will continue to do my best to be here. But thank you. That's it.
I appreciate everyone's input.
Thank you, Mary. I appreciate you take a responsibility, Lenny. I mean, unfortunately, this was not implemented in a fair and equitable manner. I think you've acknowledged that. I'm not quite sure. You know, the executive session. I'm all for having it, but you know, we have not been given any legal reason. So, I mean, what are we supposed to do? Wait until we get something? Or should we make, you know, have this and make a decision and then see if something happens after that decision?
We've got 30 days. We can't get it out.
I don't feel comfortable making a decision without knowing what the town's standpoint
is.
I think we need to be presented that before we can make a decision.
Yeah, and I mean, there has been no issue with that brought. No legal issue, nothing has been brought. This was just, you know, made for other reasons. So I don't know where we stand.
If an executive session proceeds, we could possibly during that time think about what information we might need going forward and how it could be obtained. Again, looking to the mayor and others for guidance and going from there.
Yeah, I mean, again, my opinion is, you know, we've kind of created a problem where there wasn't one. That's my personal opinion. So I'll leave it at that. Thank you, everybody, for coming. And excuse me?
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I don't think we can.
What button do we press? No buttons to press? I won't touch.